were you up to when you were 11 years old? My today's guest, Lella Violet Halum, for example, attended her first hackathon. Not with one of her parents to see what's going on, but actually to participate, and as she says, to win. What a spirit! I saw her on a conference, and she grasped me with that unapologetical energy and so much amazing intentions to make the best out of everything she does, especially uplifting others. We talked about what's the most important characteristic that someone needs to have to be successful in technology industry, why it's so crucial to involve young people in decision-making about young people, and how her being proactive and not reactive has brought her to the mentors and the job she has. This is an Uncool People podcast, and as a young parent, I couldn't wait to ask Lella, what did her parents do to create this healthy curiosity towards technology? I hope you get inspired by this young, smart, and so determined lady. Enjoy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they did something in particular. I'd say more than anything, they just allowed me to be naturally curious and unapologetically myself, in the sense that they realized I was interested in technology and they nurtured that interest within me. They allowed me to sit on their lap and learn how to, you know, code and go on these online learning platforms. So more than anything, it was just them really encouraging me and filling that interest of mine, taking me to my first hackathon when I was 11 years old, and then helping me nurture the relationships and networks that came out of that. I think when I moved out to Dubai at the age of 7, moving there for my parents' work, more than anything, was the moment where there was this large kind of can-do spirit amongst the country as a whole. And in a sense, they seeing like women in leadership and Arab women in leadership in particular, being my dad being Lebanese, that was a great moment of inspiration for me, because it allowed me to kind of see the potential within me and see that I'm not the only girl interested in tech or the only girl who could code. So I definitely say that it was just them really increasing visibility for me and allowing me to have the courage to seize these opportunities and not see my age or my gender or whatever it may be my limitation, but rather use that as my superpower and be brave, not perfect, and not be afraid to ask for support and really stand out from the crowd.
I'm just trying to think how to approach all this thing with technology and the children, and how much to allow them to get into this. And of course, maybe my wrong perception of technology is all the social media platforms that are stealing our time, but you were using them for your good and learning on them, learning platforms, learning how to code and just taking advantage of them. This is what I hear your parents kind of encouraged you unconsciously.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I didn't get my first phone until I could buy one myself at the age of 18. And if anything, I think that disconnect from technology allowed me to see technology for its full potential, for its creativity, and as a catalyst to allow me to achieve and work towards my purpose and passion in life. I learned to see tech as this creative powerhouse and as something which has great potential to unite people, particularly during COVID when we were all physically isolated. So I really think that that kind of healthy disconnect allowed me to use tech myself rather than seek like the validation of people online on social media or fall into some of the traps I saw a lot of my friends fall down. You know, it's far better for me to kind of learn to code and see the potential that it has behind it, to use it as like this tool to do whatever it is I may be primarily more interested in, as opposed to it just always being there. And I think that I was always still kind of the go-to tech advice person. I'd always be sharing with my friends how to use their latest devices. I'd know it all, but that was a place of curiosity and a place of learning, as opposed to it just being like something that I'm always like consumed by.
Today I was watching my daughter with one book in her hand, and it's a book, I don't even know where did she get it. It's about this classical story of prince and princess, and all the scary thoughts came to my mind, but I don't want her to see as a princess who needs to be saved by a prince. I want her to be independent, strong woman, self-confident, who chooses the prince, whoever he is, because she's self-confident. What were cartoons or books you were reading as a kid? And is there anyone in specific that influenced you and you still remember it like, wow, that's the book I really want every kid to read?
Gosh, that is a difficult question. I'd say, goodness me, that's actually difficult because I'd always be reading when I was younger. Like, my parents would always read stories to me when I was little. But I think, yeah, we'd read all the classics. But I think that we actually, it would be the conversations that came out of that. And as you pointed out, kind of some of the perhaps not, you know, kind of stereotypical or like not so feminist sides to it, or some of the stereotypes and systemic maybe issues that are touched on within these books, I think actually sparked conversations and was a way of my parents to almost bring up these topics with me. So I'd not say like there was a particular book which inspired me to be like who I am, but I suppose it was more like the kind of classics themselves, turning them on their heads at home and breaking down these conceptions and traditional gender roles. Maybe that was something which came out of that. As I grew older, I did love the Ruby Redford series, which was a book all about a young girl who was like a secret spy, and she'd have like the coolest tech when she'd go to school in her backpack, and she was like just a really cool person that I always wanted to be like. That was one story I remember growing up and reading those chapter books like in a night. I just devour them. But no, I don't think there's a particular book. I just say, yeah, it takes being familiar with the classics to be able to challenge your thinking and move forward in a more inclusive way, I suppose. And it's been great to see a young girl that I work with. She's a fellow Diana Award recipient. She's actually gone and founded this social enterprise where she actually rewrites some of these fairy tales. So it's really interesting to see some of the most pivotal moments within our lives, reading as a young person, kind of being challenged and now really breaking down those kind of traditions and ways that we often look at literature in the past.
Yeah, I like what you said about that you were always talking through it with your parents, even though like all those stories always finish more or less the same way, but yeah, you went and discussed them. So that makes the difference and maybe more impact in a child's mind brain.
And that's with everything. You spoke about how my parents maybe inspired me into the position I am today. And I think that actually the conversations we have around like the dinner table, me and my younger brother and my and sister and parents, like we're always discussing politics. We're discussing what's going on at school. We're discussing like so many topics. And I think that that power of those conversations that we have at home often are like my most creative moments or also my most motivational moments, because we'll have these discussions kind of beyond the boardroom, if you like, or beyond the classroom environment, or beyond, you know, where typically the best decisions are made, traditionally, I suppose. We're actually at home where you've got this intergenerational element of my parents, my younger sister and brother. You're able to really challenge your thinking, and they'll ask me about things I'm doing at work and make me kind of challenge why it is I'm doing that. So I think, yeah, with everything, the importance of what I often consider like conversations for change is so integral.
You are the youngest Z-generation IBMer. And how did you get to IBM and why this company in particular?
Well, I'm still very early on in my career path. So I just turned 18, as you mentioned. But my first connection with IBM, other than my parents having ThinkPads back when IBM manufactured ThinkPads, I actually attended this hackathon that we spoke about earlier that was designed for postgraduate students, women in STEM living in Dubai in the Middle East, to come together and develop ideas for, I think it was about smart worlds and smart cities and how we can work towards that sustainable development goal of sustainable cities and communities. And it was when I attended that event that I was sat in the back, and this woman who's now my mentor, she came over to me and she said, is your mum participating in the hackathon today? Like, what are you doing here? And I said, no, I'm here to participate. You know, I'm here to win. It's my first hackathon, but these are all the languages of code I know. I taught myself at this age and I really see this as my next step, I'm hoping. So I think it was actually being what I often say is proactive and not reactive, and having the support of my parents and attending an event like that allowed me to really stand out and like take something from being my hobby to being something a bit more serious. And it accelerated very fast, as I say, breaking through those supposed glass ceilings and going on to speak at like our annual sales academy for the entirety of Middle East and Africa to like 3,000 IBMers, and then going on to shadow the most incredible like developer advocate and different leaders within the company. So it was a really great opportunity for me to elevate and accelerate my interests living out in Dubai. And it wasn't until I returned to the UK, maybe a year or so before the pandemic, that I realized the difference, obviously, between living in Dubai, which literally was the future in many ways, and then returning to the UK and kind of beyond the London bubble. It was very difficult for me to reconnect, and coupled with my changing studies and things becoming a bit more serious, working towards exams, I did kind of lose that connection with IBM. And it wasn't until the COVID pandemic kind of started in March 2020 that I did reconnect with IBM. And I remember attending a webinar literally 2 hours before my GCSEs, like the biggest exams I was preparing for all my academic career, were cancelled. It was 2 hours prior. I randomly joined this webinar and I met the woman who was my latest mentor. She still continues to be. And she's the woman who really opened my eyes up to the world of tech for good, the power of being like a digital change maker, being what we often say, being an and not an or, being a humanitarian and a technologist. And when I attended this webinar, I was just so blown away by her story and her kind of atypical route into tech, and realizing that, you know, I can do both. And I just spammed the chat on the webinar until she gave me her email address and said that we could connect further. And very quickly, again, things accelerated by putting myself out there and being bold. I went on to support IBM in the creation of what's now a student community of 5,000 young people globally. And we also launched a range of hackathons all surrounding like tech for good and sustainability during the pandemic. So looking at how we can use tech to unite people during the pandemic, to work towards greater medical advances, and so many other incredible things. So that definitely was a blessing in disguise. It came at a time where I did really face my worst nightmare of schools being closed, having to say goodbye to my friends, my exams that I worked tirelessly for and put everything aside for, being cancelled. And actually it became my superpower, because instead of gaining that traditional qualification, the exams that I never got to sit, I instead went on to gain those real-time tech skills and gain credentials and did online courses and met so many incredible people and really had industry leaders themselves be my teacher. You know, being able to join webinars globally and have industry leaders dialing in from all over. And something I really harnessed was ensuring that industry leaders could speak with young people as opposed to at us, which often tends to be the case. You know, when you're watching a keynote, there's jargon, there's so many limitations to fully engaging. That was something I really tried to break down. And I definitely do believe that we created this dream classroom environment, which continues to grow. And seeing the stories that come out of that and seeing all the different areas of tech is so powerful.
Great. Thank you. And, you know, from what you said, I think COVID has brought to us, from all the bad things that happened in the world, one of the things that I also appreciate a lot is we could connect to people all over the world. We could attend all sorts of conferences, webinars, educations that previously probably were not even available online. And this is one of the things that gave us opportunities to meet new people, to learn so many things. And what I liked you've said about your mentor, that she impressed you with her story and how she talked about herself and what she does. I had a question popping up in my head. How do you introduce yourself to people who never heard about you to stay in their memory so that they can say, ah, that's Lela, I remember her?
Yeah, I'd love to flip that question back to you, because honestly, I don't ever know. I'm always changing what's my elevated pitch. I never know kind of what I'm saying and like how it leaves a mark. I think more than anything, I've said it before and I'll say it again, like being unapologetically myself and bringing that full passion and excitement that I get around speaker engagements and being able to share my story, I think speaks louder than any words in a way. And yeah, while I can bring in all my titles and share my age and share all kind of the different professional accolades that have brought me to be who I am today, I think more than anything, it's when I talk about like the sustainable development goals surrounding gender equality, quality education, decent work and economic growth. These are all goals that the United Nations set out for us to all work towards as a society. And that's what kind of wakes me up in the morning more than anything. I don't think about my job title. I don't think about what it is I want to say to particularly impress someone. It's more that passion and underlying purpose and the role I play in accelerating such change that I think fires me up more than anything, I suppose. I hope that answers your question.
That answers my question. You asked me what made me to think of you, like what kind of introduction that was, but it was not really an introduction itself. It was this energy and passion, because I could feel your passion coming through every cell of your body. You're a catalyst of young people. Your work is expanding the opportunities, especially for those who are maybe not so fortunate or not having the possibilities. You have all the knowledge, you have all the possibilities. You've been to so many hackathons, you've lived in Dubai, you came back to UK and you're already working. What made you think, or what made you this will of helping other young folks, other kids to have these opportunities?
That's a great question, because I often do talk about this. I think for me, I, from a young age, was exposed to these industry opportunities. I was lucky that I attended that hackathon and it welcomed me into this incredible world, which I perhaps wouldn't otherwise, actually, no, I wouldn't at all have discovered, if quite frankly. I think a lot of the time these opportunities fall within an echo chamber and very few people know about them. And once they know about them, people just sit comfortably with them and they don't think about who they can share it with and whose lives they can also change as a result of doing that. And I think for me, I'd go into my computer science lessons and I'd say, I've just seen the latest AI developments. I've learned all about cloud. I've learned about this. I've seen how we're using technology to fight the COVID pandemic or whatever it may be. And people are just very students that I've been surrounded by, at least, all don't see that, and they don't see the potential technology has or the role that they play in that, because they think that computer science, the way it's traditionally taught, is incredibly maths heavy and data driven, and they think they have to be very technical to be a technologist in a way, and they don't see the intersections it holds with the arts or with humanities or with achieving greater social good like I do. And I think that it was seeing mentors that I mentioned and seeing the incredible work that people do, attending these hackathons and attending these and being a part of these kind of real-time tech opportunities, that made me think, right, it shouldn't only be me and the fortunate few, but rather we need to expand these opportunities out to the many. And I think that that kind of is my great motivation within the work I do, because I see the importance of engaging young people. Industry leaders always talk about the digital divide, the digital skills gap, the lack of the future workforce. But who better to interact with young people and welcome young people into the world of tech than industry leaders themselves? We need them to almost teach us. And instead of relying on textbooks, which go out of date the moment they're printed, because that's how fast the tech industry is evolving, we need to start using technology to teach technology. And I think that without a young voice at the heart and center of that, and without my voice, without the voices that I've welcomed within our community and uplifted in that sense, I don't think we'd ever see that progress, or at least it wouldn't be that fast. So I think it is just mainly a motivation for myself to go and share these opportunities with others and kind of welcome them all into this community that has been so welcoming of me, and almost being that helping hand that I perhaps didn't have when I first went into it. Yes, I had the support and I was uplifted into that first hackathon, but had I not known about that, it's likely I wouldn't be where I am today. And I certainly wouldn't have seen myself perhaps doing the thing I can do now, because I wouldn't have seen that as a career. Everyone does just see tech careers as being very technical and having to be coding all day or whatever it may be. And it's really important that we start to change that, but we can't do that without greater visibility of talent and of the plethora of career paths that young people can go down.
I love this. I love this approach of not keeping everything to myself and striving and growing fast by myself, but by sharing this knowledge and showing opportunities to others, actually we grow faster and we grow better as a community as well. So thank you for also making this kind of inspiration for other people. In your opinion, what's the most important characteristic or personality trait someone needs to have to be successful in this industry?
I definitely say, especially as a young girl, I think there's a great struggle surrounding perfectionism. And I know I even see it when you look at girls learning to code. And I remember seeing like the work Girls Who Code, that organization, have done. They always speak about the girls being the ones who go and delete their code and like they're not as kind of willing to just try things, while the guys in the room are, you know, breaking things up and are not afraid to go wrong. And I think that that's an issue that definitely needs to change, but it's something that's been instilled within my fellow women, I suppose, from a very young age. And I still see it. I consider myself like a recovering perfectionist. I'd be afraid to do something wrong. But I really do think that that spirit of being brave and not perfect, as the founder of Girls Who Code does say, I think that that's so much more important. It's about trying things. It's about asking why. It's about asking for help. And it's putting your true self out there that I think will lead you on to more opportunities. Because if we all sit back waiting for opportunities to come to us and be reactive rather than proactive, I think that that kind of is a limitation. So it definitely is the personality trait I'd say is most integral, would be that kind of proactivity and that open-mindedness and really harnessing that natural curiosity that we all do have within us, but just perhaps needs to be expressed a bit more. Because yeah, by all asking questions, as you say, we all are better together, and who better to learn with than one another? And we definitely, yeah, can all innovate and grow as a collective, as opposed to individuals who perhaps, yeah, have had access to different opportunities. So it definitely is a matter of like working together and putting your best self forward, and also being unapologetically yourself, not being afraid to go wrong, I suppose.
That's awesome. You know, I'm taking every answer of yours selfishly and already thinking how I implement it in my life, because I asked the first question about my daughter, so and the movies and the cartoons, but actually you answered it perfectly now, is to kind of seed this seed in the head of young kids, of our kids, that proactivity, curiosity, and open mind to the new things. I think this is one of the most important things we can do to each other. We as parents to our kids.
I was just going to say, like living abroad as well and traveling and being exposed to so many cultures on a day to day definitely allowed me to see the world to be so much more than the bubble that is my small neighborhood, I suppose. So I definitely do think there is such an importance in kind of seeing so much more of the world, and realizing the power of community and collectiveness as well.
Yeah, thank you for that. And now changing a little bit the direction, you as a humanitarian, what would be your one crucial tip to make a world a better place?
I always say, and I think it's so important, that no decision about us, whether it's about students, whether it's about underserved or underrepresented groups, are made without us. We can't continue to make decisions like that, because what happens often is you'll have a boardroom, a meeting room, whatever it may be, where only a small fraction of society are represented. And if we do that, you're not only wasting time by creating something just for like the smallest percent of society, but also you're not thinking about those other voices. And I mentioned it at the conference, but for your listeners, the importance of the four H's in the decision-making process. So in tech, that's having a hacker, so a technical person who understands the technology, a hustler being the business-minded person, making sure it's financially credible, the humanitarian, someone like me, who is driven by greater social good, and the hipster, who's the artsy person that makes it look good and makes sure that it's user friendly and, you know, it creative in that sense. I think that they're kind of the four parts that we need in all teams, and the power of welcoming that diversity of thought, I think, is so important because, yeah, we simply cannot make decisions like that anymore, as it doesn't reflect both the demographic diversity in terms of how we all look like and what makes us look different, but also, yeah, that cognitive diversity, why we think differently, what different experiences we've all had that have led us to this particular moment of time. So for sure, it's making sure that no decision about us is made without us.
I love this. And also the cognitive differences that you've mentioned, accept them and use them to the good of our teamwork as we work together. That's fantastic. You do many things and you look so passionate about them. But what is one thing you will continue doing no matter what?
Oh, I have to say it's got to be uplifting others and being open to hearing different people's stories and seeing how they can support me in my work or what the power of collaboration and community. I think, yeah, coming out of the pandemic and reflecting on those last 2 years, it certainly has been the people that have got me through and allowed me to progress personally. But more than anything, it's been watching other young people who've come through different programs I've been a part of and seeing them write their own stories and start their own new chapters. I think that there is such great good in that. And I know just how much I've benefited from having like strong, independent women like my mother and my grandmother, and my sister, as well as looking out to my first mentors and the incredible women I'm surrounded by at IBM as well and in all my other work and projects. So yeah, I definitely say it has to be continuing to listen to other people's stories. And I always say, regardless of what it is you do, if you're a mother, you're a father, you're an auntie, you're an uncle, however you have a relation to a young person in your life, think about what you can do to make sure that their voices are heard and their passion and purpose comes out within them, because all young people know what change they'd like to see in the world, but it often does just take that first nudge to help them get started and realize that they are able to do that. It's about channeling perhaps the anxiety within the world that we often face, whether it's regarding the climate, whether it's regarding COVID, whatever it's been definitely a crazy time to be an 18-year-old in the world. So I definitely say, yeah, it is uplifting one another and seeing how we can kind of help one another start their own journeys. And I get nothing more than, yeah, that's just the greatest thing for me, being able to support others and hear what it is that wakes them up in the morning and what change they want to see and how I can be a part of that. I love it.
You mentioned mentors a lot. Who is your most valuable mentor? What qualities does this person have and how does this person inspire you?
You know, I wouldn't say a name, but I would say one person who's got to stand out, and I suppose a collective, has to be my family. I think that even though they're not from technical backgrounds and they don't often understand all the technology that I'm talking about in my day to day, it's been their courage and their resilience and the shining light, I suppose, that they've been within my life and continue to be today, that motivates me more than anything. Them kind of instilling that confidence within me and often showing me my potential before I even know it has been something which has powered me on at every time. So I definitely say, beyond any fancy job title or any industry mentor that I've had, it's got to be their never-ending support and unconditional love, I suppose, more than anything. When it comes to industry mentors, because I have been fortunate with so many, I would say that it's those who challenge my thinking and show me kind of break down those conventions and show me how I can bring my best self to work and the things that I do. I think that also them, when they harness my kind of powers as well, I often refer it as, you know, the power of reverse mentorship, where not only am I learning from them, but they're learning from me. I often talk with my mentor, Melissa Sassy. We talk about, you know, the power of this reverse partnership that we have, where I learn about her work and she supports me and my kind of tech for good and digital change maker journey. But for her, being in industry now for I don't know how many years, but she always says that, you know, welcoming that younger voice and bringing that to the table and welcoming my perspective has challenged her thinking in the way that she works her 9 to 5. So I definitely say, yeah, mentorship can come in so many different forms. And we often see it as someone more senior than us with X more years experience and of this particular age and at this stage of their career path. But actually, it's just simply looking at those people that inspire and those people that are willing to just have a chat and get to know what your interests are and see how they can uplift you within your next step of your journey, that I think speaks louder than any job title.
It does indeed. And I love your answers. I can feel through all of them how you are open to take everything that is coming to your way, but also give to other people. And you are all about this sharing and being this human being. And I love this. I love this about you. What is your definition of a cool person?
Oh, gosh. Does it make me cool that I'm now on this podcast? Who knows? I probably just have to say, as we've said the whole time, someone that brings their whole self to work, someone that's to everything, actually, not just work, someone who's unapologetically themselves and uses that as their superpower to challenge thinking, challenge the norm. And instead of fitting into a societal mold, they break it and they create their own. I'd say that's a cool person.
Is age your superpower or a showstopper? It certainly should not be a limitation for doing whatever heck we want. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And I see you next episode.